I saw you quoted somewhere, I don't know where you said this or wrote this, genetics provides a basis for grace within the structure of life itself.
Gosh. That's impressive.
Yeah.
I think I know. I think where that was coming from was, again, it comes back to how do we respond theologically to genetic diversity? And you can deny it or not like it, or you can say, one, that the diversity that genetics gives us is in itself a source of hope and change and growth. It also is a challenge because it's that with which we have to deal, you know, when we look at one another. It's something for which we inherently should feel grateful. That's the sort of gift of God element. Mm-hmm. And then I think the within life itself piece was really a kind of a nod in the direction of saying that at least the theological tradition of which I am part is a tradition which puts whatever we mean by God very firmly in the matter of life. So, you know, it isn't, I mean, the way people in my tradition think about God is that it's not sort of, is it, well, they're all metaphors, but it's not sort of God sitting up there looking down on this lump of stuff which is matter.
Mm-hmm.
So much as whatever we know of God is only known through the stuff in which we live. And so, you know, I suppose if you're a Teilhard de Chardin fan, you'd probably think about the spiritual power of matter.
Hmm.
And, where do I look for God? I don't look up in the clouds. The angel said at the beginning of Acts, isn't it, at the Ascension, you know, why are you looking up into heaven? He's not here. He's not there.
Right.
You know, the view of God, I think I have learned, is a view which points us back into life and says that these things that we see in life are rich and precious and are themselves the gift. It's also the place we know God and we encounter God. And you know, we don't control it. It is a gift. It's grace.
Mm.
But grace also looks at that is a positive statement.
Right.
You know, it's saying that there is beauty in this. It's not ugly. It's beautiful.
I think the last question I'd like to ask you is a question you posed, I believe, in a sermon. How does a geneticist maintain his or her integrity while standing at the altar on Sunday talking to and not merely about God?
Gosh, I say the most stupid things at times, don't I? You know, I don't think anything I've ever said in a sermon has come back to haunt me in quite the way it's done with you.
I'm sorry. Well, this will be over quickly.
Because
this really is the point, that it's that you're not just talking about God, you're also talking to God. So,
yeah. And I think the inside of what that was about was that it is very hard to come up with a way of speaking about the things we sometimes want to speak about without some kind of religious language. So I think that the issue is, if I stand at the altar, I mean, I'm sure I could give a kind of sociological unpacking of the prayers we pray, but that's so boring. You know, then it's not half as good as saying, you know, blessed are you, Lord our God, ruler of the universe, you know, who does X, Y, or Z. And it's because that language in itself is a reflection of who we are and for me to say, well, here we all are together, and we're, you know, being really grateful for the fact we've had a long evolutionary heritage, and you know, and that we're still here, and that it's nice to be together, and isn't that special? Somehow doesn't quite cut it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, any kind of, you know, so I think somewhere lurking that was what I was driving at, that even if religious language is only poetry, it's necessary poetry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the poetic imagination is a, you know, that is who we are. Science is explanation.
Huh.
And who we are is every bit as important as how we explain who we are.